Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is bonus episode number 24. I'm your host Duncan McLeish and welcome to the show. So, another bonus episode. You guys must be thinking to yourself, wait one second, we have had Baz v Halloween year 3. It ran in its entirety. Then you took a week off. Then you came back and when you came back we did the Bazziversary show, which everyone loved but it was drunk. And then we did a Chronicle bonus episode last week. So why are we doing another bonus episode now? Well, quite simply put, my timing is rubbish. I had calculated what I thought was a legitimate timeline of episodes, which would take me out to the end of this year. And it turns out that my counting isn't great at all. And there are less episodes planned than there are actually weeks left in this year for Putting Out Podcasts. So, this has led to bonus episode number 24, which is rightfully dubbed the month after the month before. So, during October, we obviously focused a lot of attention on Baz v Halloween. It is our bread and butter during that month. It's the thing that everyone wants to hear. You want to see if I can get one over on the Baz. And it was a great run of shows. But also during that month, we as horror fans, and people out there that are casual horror fans as well, consume a lot of horror content. We all try and cram as many horror movies as possible into our beady little eyes over the month of October. I was no exception. I took part in my second ever 31 of October. Very much like last year, I focused purely on movies I had never seen before that came out this year. So 2016, 31 movies that were all horror that I hadn't seen. I'm not going to lie, the ratio of good to bad was kind of skewed in the bad category. There was quite a lot of horror movies that I hadn't seen, probably subconsciously for obvious reasons, but there was some that I saw that I genuinely thought were great, and I will be doing an end of year top 20 horror list where I will speak about some of them in more detail, and some of the ones that I've seen this year that have been phenomenal will make appearances on podcasts Under the Stairs episodes next year for proper reviews, but some of them are still not officially fully out and I don't really want to go kind of treading in a landmine when it comes to spoilers and stuff. Like, I don't mind doing it with older films, but with newer films it gets a bit more difficult to navigate the what you can say, what you can't say, and avoidance of spoilers for listeners. So we'll just try and swing away from that altogether. So yeah, so what I'm going to do on this episode is I have picked a couple of titles from my list of 31. I'm just going to spend 10-15 minutes talking about what I liked about them or what I didn't like about them and give them a Teapots Netflix rating, 1 through 5, and give you an idea whether or not this might be a movie you want to check out if you haven't seen it already, or potentially spark up some conversation on the old Facebook group page as to whether or not you actually thought you are in agreement with me, or maybe you thought it was better or worse than I said. So we will play that out and see how it goes. There is, as always, at the start of this episode, some updates to throw out your way. So we've ran some polls on the Facebook group page to basically decide content for December. It is, of course, a listener month. You get to dictate and control the way the shows go. And with that in mind, you guys started off by shortlisting a dream double bill of movies for me to check out. And surprise, surprise, I actually didn't expect this one to win, but it kind of came through comfortably towards the end. I can let you know that next week's show will feature myself and the rather fantastic Court Psyops from Cinema Psyops. And we're going to be looking at Monster Squad and Young Frankenstein as the double bill on the show. The following week, I'll be joined by that rather magnificent bastard. Ryan Lewis of Graveshift Radio. I was going to say formerly of Graveshift Radio, but Graveshift is on indefinite hiatus, so he's not formerly of it. He's just kind of holding back just now. Holding back on the sexy. And if you've heard Ryan speak before on this show or any show, you know, it's good to hold back on that sexy and then bring it back every now and again just to remind you how goddamn manly that man is. We are going to be looking at your choice from the poll that we put up for Christmas horror movie, and it is Elves from 1989, which won decisively. And to be honest with you, I kind of guessed it was going to win. I kind of thought people were going to go for something a bit more obscure. I deliberately put more obscure titles up there, and there was a couple that I would love to do somewhere down the line, and I may still do them. Maybe even next year. Out with, maybe do a Christmas themed show in the middle of the year, just to confuse people, just to fuck with them. So we're going to be doing that one. We will be having a poll this week coming, the week that you're listening to this show on. We will be dropping a poll for what movie will be covered by myself and the Baz for the Teapots Christmas movie commentary show. That's right, always drops on Christmas Eve for your entertainment. It's good to do some wrapping of presents and hear us try to dissect some film. Last year it was Pieces. I loved that movie. Baz hated that movie. I am not sure whether I want to go goofy this year or whether I want to genuinely try and scare him. So yeah, we'll see what that poll looks like. There may be a combination of both, like actually quite scary movies as well as quite goofy movies, and we'll see where you people, the listeners, decide that that goes. If you are an eagle-eyed viewer on our social networks, you will know that we tweeted and Instagrammed and posted on the Facebook page that we have seen some images coming forth for the upcoming Teapots poster, the Baz v Halloween, Baz v Horror poster. Which we've commissioned a rather fantastic Scottish-based artist to do. I can give more details about that hopefully in the next week or so, and even if everything goes according to plan, we will be able to bring forth what the final image will look like ahead of an actual release date for purchase. I did get some questions on the Facebook group page. I think it was Alicia who basically asked what the script was with these. And I thought I had mentioned that on the Bazziversary show, but it did spring to mind that I was very drunk and maybe we didn't clearly articulate anything. Maybe it was just me and Baz drunkenly speaking over the top of each other, which to be honest with you, that whole episode pretty much was that. So the plan is that we are going to do a run of 25 posters, the brand new posters. Basically, they'll all be numbered and signed by the Baz, with an option for me to sign on them if you want. Now, Alicia had wondered why that was the case, and simply put, that the poster is for Baz v Horror. It's a subset of the podcast Under the Stairs, and the star of that show is the Baz. So, from my point of view, he does the majority of the work on that show. I do very little. I kind of steer the conversation where it's needed, but for the most part handle the recording and production duties on those shows. It's Baz that really kind of carries the weight on his shoulders of making sure that the content is there, and as such the poster will reflect that, and even kind of furthermore the fact that Baz was signing them kind of added to that. But if you guys want a signature by me, I don't mind doing that. I can put one on the side. So they will be, like I say, numbered 1 to 25 and signed by the Baz. Now, we're only doing a run of 25 posters. The reason behind that is I previously did a run of 75 posters for the year one run of Podcast Under the Stairs posters, and they were all numbered up to 75. And I've still got about 20, I think, left. And as a result of that, I kind of thought, you know, instead of ending up with cupboards full of unpurchased posters, that we would make this one a little bit more limited to see how we do with them. Now, I've also said that if all 25 sell out, then I don't mind going back to the printers to get more done. We'll probably do them in smaller batches, though. The first 25 will be numbered and signed though. After that, they're just standard posters. They won't have any numbers on them, they won't be signed. That's what they'll be. So you basically will have to be quick off the mark to make sure that you get your numbered signed poster. If that's what you want, if you want to hold back and just get a plain one, then hold back and get a plain one. We will definitely be doing them. Everyone will get one. It's not going to be a case of the run of 75 that I did, which was when they're gone, they're gone. If all 25 sell out and I get another 25 done and all those 25 get sold out, people are still asking for them, I will go and get another batch done. That's not an issue. We're also going to start a couple of campaigns very similar to what the guys over on the podcast on Haunted Hill did for their t-shirt. It'll be kind of like a pledge thing for merch, which basically means you put in your order for your t-shirt on this website, so you buy your t-shirt, and if we meet the total of however many t-shirts we put there, for example if it's 20 t-shirts and 20 sell, then they'll run. If they don't meet their target and the time required, then no one spends any money and the t-shirts don't exist. I think it's the best way to do them. I bought one from the podcast on Haunted Hill and it was great to see the final product, and I just thought it was a genuinely a really cool thing. We were not really, there was very little bullshit. You could see exactly where your money was going and you got something back in return. So that's what we'll be doing for that. There will be a series of merch though, so there will be a run of the new poster design on t-shirts, there will be a run of the old poster design on t-shirts, and there may be some sort of, I'm thinking baseball top. I love baseball tops, even though I hate baseball. I do love baseball tops. So maybe one that does the baseball tops for people to pick up. I don't know yet. They will all arrive, including the posters, in January. So like I say, watch this space. We'll definitely be promoting it on Twitter, Instagram, and on the Facebook group page. So if you're a listener out there that doesn't follow us at all on social media and are interested by anything I've just said, then make sure that you're following at least one of them and you will not be left out the loop. And it won't be a case of me coming on a show going, by the way, we announced our posters and they're all sold out. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled for them. Also, we are closing in, like I say, towards the end of this year. We only have a finite amount of shows left, which is really, really cool. I think this year has been hugely successful for the show. The figures, the download figures, which we're going to obviously release at the beginning of next year, we do it every year, certainly show that this year has been incredible. We're on track to have doubled our overall downloads from 2015 into 2016, which is just insane. And that's due to you guys checking out the show, getting your friends to check out the show, commenting, spreading the word on social media. That is all thanks to you. So to kind of level out where the shows are now going until the end of the year, we obviously have this bonus episode here. Next week will be the first listener's choice episode of 2016 for December. We are going to be doing our Dream Double Bill, myself and Court Psyops. We'll be looking at Monster Squad and Young Frankenstein. The week after that, I'll be joined by Ryan Lewis. We'll be looking at Elves as our Christmas horror movie. The week after that, there will be a very special episode, which I'm keeping under wraps. And then at the end of that week, on the Saturday, our Teapots Christmas commentary episode drops. So keep your eyes open. Loads of content still to come before the end of the year. The podcast Under the Stairs, as always, takes a break between Christmas and New Year, and then we will return probably the end of the first week of the New Year to bring you our kind of recap of 2016 episode, lay out the foundations for what's going to happen in terms of Baz v Horror over the next year, 2017, and look forward to our end of year Baz assessment, where he looks at the remaining movies by Rob Zombie that he has yet to see. So yeah, tons of stuff coming up. So I'm going to take a short break just now. I'm going to jump out, and when I return, we are going to be looking at some of the movies that I caught over my 31 days of October. I've picked two movies that I liked and one that I didn't like, so we get three discussions on movies on this bonus episode. I'll be right back after these promos for shows that I love.
Badasses, Boobs, and Body Counts is a weekly podcast that discusses grindhouse and exploitation cinema. Your three hosts, Mike.
It's a quick thank you, come again.
Not racist at all.
Mark,
if you bend over and you have what is essentially a pubic cottontail coming out of the crack of your ass, you need to do some goddamn grooming.
And listener favorite, Iris.
I'd not have sex with that horse.
We'll make you question your own political correctness while laughing at theirs. Episodes drop every Sunday and can be found by searching BB and BC Podcasts via Libsyn, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio. You can also listen to episodes directly from the show's website at badassesboobsandbodycounts.com.
Clytus, I'm bored. What plaything can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Destroy it utterly. Send Rick and Benny in Wool Rocket Ajax.
So, just destroy it?
That's what Ming said. Don't you ever listen?
Well, there's no arguing with Ming.
Hail Ming. Wait! You see those transmissions on the Visua screen?
Crow? Nightmare on Elm Street?
Chud 2? Black Belt Jones?
Nightbreed?
What's a critter?
Oh, I've seen those things.
Flash? I guess we could wait a while before the destruction.
Yeah, and watch the movies.
And talk about them.
The Hell Ming Power Hour. Disobedience to Ming. For now.
You can find us at Legion Podcast.
You can find us on Facebook.
iTunes.
We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram.
At You know what? Just Google it for yourself.
Just Google it, you bastages.
Hell Ming.
Breaking 2? Electric Boogaloo?
Samurai Cop?
Army of Darkness?
Flash Dance?
We might destroy the planet if it's Flash Dance.
And welcome back. So, the first movie we're going to talk about is one that I enjoyed quite a bit. I actually think it's potentially up there as one of the best horror movies that I've seen in 2016. Which was surprising because it comes from a point of view or a style of horror which is not one that I tend to enjoy, which is the home invasion. Although this is kind of a flip or a reversal on the home invasion idea. So basically this movie is Don't Breathe by Fede Alvarez, who both co-wrote and directed this movie. Fede Alvarez was behind the remake of The Evil Dead, which for those that remember the first year of Podcasts Under the Stairs, they will remember that I loved that remake. I thought that remake was absolutely fucking brilliant. And then we covered it earlier on in the year with The Baz, when we did his end of year assessment looking at the Evil Dead franchise, and my love for the movie hadn't changed at all. Even at that point, I thought Fede Alvarez had managed to capture quite a lot of the vibe and the nastiness of that original Evil Dead movie, even though the subsequent sequels, which I also love, went off on a slightly more goofier tangent. So he's back. It's been a couple of years since he put anything out, and he's back with Don't Breathe. And I'll be honest, the trailers for this movie didn't really sell it to me at all. I felt that they were giving away too much in the trailers, which is ironic considering where this movie actually does go. And I would like to say that there's a very good chance that this movie will feature in a full review somewhere down the line. I get the feeling that I want to sit down and kind of hash this through with a guest or even the Baz at a later date. So I won't be spoiling anything to do with this movie at all. Also, kind of feel like I shouldn't be spoiling it anyway, considering it's 2016. So I get the feeling that all these three movie reviews I'm going to go through, even the movie that I didn't really like, I'm not going to exactly spoil. So what's the movie about? Well, IMDb have a rather interestingly short synopsis, which I think in some respects is probably beneficial for a movie like this. It just says, hoping to walk away with a massive fortune, a trio of thieves break into a house of a blind man who isn't as helpless as he seems. I think the first thing to say about this movie is that, like I say, I kind of saw this as being a kind of home invasion movie, and it is to an extent. But what I loved about this movie is how many times things got shook up during the viewing. There are quite a few plot twists in here which I'm not going to say were unexpected, but when they happened, I kind of felt myself take an intake of breath through mostly surprise of not being able to see where the movie was going, which I think is a rare quality in horror movies, especially now. Kind of well worn to the tropes of horror, that I sometimes feel that I know where the movie's going well in advance of when the movie's getting there. And that's not the filmmaker's fault. They're obviously making a movie the way that narratively makes sense to them. It just so happens that I've seen many movies that have used a similar narrative before, and as a result can kind of start to piece together things a bit earlier. And I think as the genre becomes more, listen to me, I think as the genre becomes more attuned to these things, the more people that are listening to podcasts, the more people that are actively reviewing movies, you start to pick up on tropes or slight movements in storytelling which become warning signals as to where the movie's going to end up. And I find that not to the detriment of any movie. I very rarely downgrade a movie because it's predictable. I'm more interested to see if the parts fit together correctly. I mean, you can make a very predictable, very well-made movie and I'll appreciate it for what it is, you know, as a very well-made, well-told story. I think sometimes when you try and reinvent the wheel too much, the danger is that you sacrifice something, which may be character, it may actually be plot. You may try and change things to take it in a way which just doesn't feel satisfying or really make sense. And Fede Alvarez isn't necessarily reinventing the wheel with Don't Breathe. He's kind of tweaked it a little bit. In some respects, I think it would make a fantastic kind of double bill with Hush, the Mike Flanagan movie, because both of them have an interest in... They're almost like polar opposites of each other. So in Hush, we have a deaf-mute woman who is being terrorised in her home by someone with their full faculties, and in Don't Breathe, it's the inverse of that. So it's people with full faculties that are, you know, attempting to do something to someone's home, and this person is blinded, but it just so happens that, you know, this person is a bit more dangerous than they were expecting when they broke in. I thought the pacing of the movie was fantastic. I thought there was very little downtime at all, if any. I thought the violence was measured. It wasn't too over the top. There is a particular twist where there is a... The sexual content becomes very uncomfortable in the movie, and I think it's handled in a great way where you just feel the air leave the room when you're watching it. I think the characters are great as well. I read some reviews where people were saying that, you know, there isn't any likeable characters in this, and they are right, there isn't any likeable characters. We're essentially following thieves breaking into someone's house who is disabled, so we're not supposed to like them from the start, but as the story unfolds for the blind man in the house, the more we find out about him, it's very difficult to get behind him as a character either. But it didn't bother me. I found it actually really quite interesting. I think it's did I prefer it to Evil Dead is the question. And I think in a lot of respects I did. And the reason behind that is Evil Dead is obviously it's a retelling of a story we already know. And Don't Breathe is more of an original content. And the fact that the movie did so well and its cinematic run, so much so that Ferry Alvarez has already been bankrolled for future projects, and I believe they have announced a sequel to this movie, I think is testament to what happens when, you know, you get a director out there doing what he clearly has a passion for, and that's horror. I heard an interview with him recently on the Shockwaves podcast, which I highly recommend everyone check out, because you get a real sense of what the guy's about, and his passion for the genre, which certainly comes through in this movie. If I was to score this one using the old Netflix grades, which we do on the podcast Under the Stairs, which is 1 hated it, 2 didn't like it, 3 liked it, 4 really liked it, and 5 loved it, I would be hard pushed to say that this isn't a 5. I genuinely thought there was very little that I didn't think worked in this movie at all, and when it finished, I kind of felt like I'd been on this really cool kind of thrill ride, almost like this sort of kind of fucked up roller coaster. And like I say, I don't often get that. I don't often watch movies which have a twist or several twists. It kind of makes me think of Jim Mickle's Cold in July, which has about 2 or 3 really kind of jaw-dropping twists in it where you're like, I did not see that coming. All right, we're going there now. Don't Breathe kind of falls into that camp in a really satisfying way. It's one of the better horror movies I've seen in 2016. It's one that I highly recommend that people go out and check out. So obviously it's out the cinema now. I don't even know if there'll be a Blu-ray release of this before Christmas. I think it may be early next year. So if you haven't managed to catch it at the cinema, which is entirely likely, then hopefully when it comes out beginning of next year in a physical format or in VOD and stuff like that, you check this movie out. And like I say, I don't see any reason why this would not be covered by Podcasts Under the Stairs and a full review moving on. I kind of feel like I want to do this one with Baz. I get a feeling that he would get a kick out of it, and you know, it's a good way for him to continue his journey along the body of work by Ferry Alvarez, who has really proven to be a very interesting kind of voice in the horror genre. His name has been linked, obviously, to Don't Breathe 2, which he's at the moment he's directing. I would be surprised if he ends up directing it. I would imagine that he's probably going to go more down the line of something like maybe, you know, executive producer or something. But the big news that came out was that he's been picked up to be the director of The Girl in the Spider's Web, which is the kind of offshoot of the Millennium Trilogy, the Stieg Larsson collection of books, which, you know, spawned 3 movies in Sweden. It spawned 1 Americanized Hollywood version directed by David Fincher, which was The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, which didn't perform all that well, and as such, I kind of left that one in limbo. And after Stieg Larsson passed away, another book was written following the kind of stories and exploits of Lisbeth, who's the main character. And that one was called The Girl in the Spider's Web, which was written by a different author, but like I say, in homage or in the style of Stieg Larsson. And Alvarez has been picked up to direct that one. So that could be quite interesting, because I don't know if they're going to be bringing back the same characters, same actors, as the original American kind of remake of The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. But from a Hollywood point of view, he's an interesting choice for this. I've not read the book, so I don't know how violent and bloody it gets, but you don't snap up someone like Alvarez just to do a standard kind of Hollywood thriller. I get the feeling that he's been picked up for almost a Liam Neeson-esque sort of special set of skills. So I will be looking forward to that one when it drops. So that's my first movie review from the 31 movies that I checked out over October. That was Don't Breathe from 2016, directed by Fede Alvarez. And like I say, I gave it 5 out of 5. Thought it was absolutely fantastic. I'm going to take a very short break. You're going to hear more promos for shows that I love when I return. It's time to look at something that I did not enjoy nearly as much as Don't Breathe, but I'll be back to tell you all about that right after this.
Hello, and welcome to Hello, This is the Doom Show. I'm Richard.
And I hate the burning.
Shh, who are you? Speak.
And I'm Brad.
She came in and said, bark, bark, bark. And he said, bark, bark, bark. And she said, bark, 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 bark. That's what I got.
One is the Suspiria boner. The other is the Inferno boner. Anyway.
Which one is crying? The boner of tears.
Hello, This is the Doomed Show is available on hellodoomedshow.podomatic.com and doomedmoviethon.com.
Hello, hello, this is the Doomed Show, Richard, Brad, Jeffrey, Nafa.
It's the Doomed Show.
Hello,
hello,
this is the Doomed Show, slashers, G.I. Joe, and horror.
Do you like movie reviews that are insightful, thought-provoking, and delivered by somebody who's trained to critically dissect every aspect of a motion picture without ever having to use obscenities?
Then you've got the wrong f***ing show. Kruger Nation Horror Podcast is ready to feed your slasher movie and exploitation needs. There'll be more blood, expletives, and titties than you can shake your grandma's beetle flaps at. Visit www.krugernation.com.
And welcome back. So up next, movie number 2. Now this one had a whole hell of a lot of promise for me coming into it. I had heard very little about it, with the fact that it was a Blumhouse movie, and it was directed by Greg McLean, who is behind the Wolf Creek movies which I enjoy greatly, and I'm very much looking forward to checking out that TV show very, very soon. I know it's, I think it has aired in the UK now, but I think I'm just going to snap up the Blu-ray and binge it over Christmas, because nothing says Merry Christmas like watching anything to do with Wolf Creek. So yeah, Greg McLean was in it anyway. He's directing it, and the movie stars Kevin Bacon. So I love a little bit of Kevin Bacon. I am a big fan of that man. I think he very rarely phones it in. He always plays something quite interesting from my point of view, and the fact he was coming back to do a horror movie after his kind of very extensive run in The Following, which was a TV show which I've spoken about many, many times on this show, which was one that was inconsistently brilliant at times, but for the most part very frustrating, and overstayed its welcome by at least a season and a half. But yeah, Kevin Bacon is... his name would draw my attention to a project. He's joined by Radha Mitchell's in it, and you know, Paul Reiser and stuff like that. So I mean, there was names to get me interested in watching it, and the mythology behind the movie, like the trailer for this one, unlike Don't Breathe, had me kind of excited to see the movie. Synopsis is listed on IMDb as a family returns from a Grand Canyon vacation haunted by an ancient supernatural entity. They unknowingly awakened and engages them in a fight for their survival. So the kind of mythology behind this one is all to do with kind of Native American folklore, these kind of creatures that live in a spirit plane, so to speak, which were kind of guarded by these rune stones. That's rune, R-U-N-E, not R-U-I-N, stones, which are disrupted, and as such they start to target this family, headed up by the rather fantastic Kevin Bacon. This movie just did not float my boat at all. I felt there was a couple of glaring issues in the movie. First was the runtime. I think this was close to, if memory serves, this is close to like, it's just over an hour and a half, I think, and which is the perfect time for a horror movie. You kind of like want that sweet spot of about an hour and a half. But I would say that 75% of this movie is not focused on kind of supernatural entities or following that really interesting mythology or backstory behind the creatures. It's spent more with looking at the family dynamic of Kevin Bacon's family, and I at times complain that there's not enough character development is probably the best way to sum it up. And this movie gave me a lot of character development, so to speak, but it was just so plodding and monotonous, and we're kind of following this family who are just totally dysfunctional. The daughter is bulimic. The son has serious issues, mentally speaking, these serious issues. The father, played by Kevin Bacon, has had an affair at some point with someone at his work, and as a result, his marriage to Radha Mitchell is strained to the point of breaking. And I understand they're a weak target for this family, you know, for these supernatural creatures. You know, they're preying on them because of their lack of unity, and on all the things that are wrong in their family environment, and really playing into that they can manipulate the sun without being observed, so to speak. But my biggest issue was that like 75% of the movie is that, and in the last 20 minutes tries to be Poltergeist in a really clumsy way. It really kind of goes through the motions at the end. Kevin Bacon's good in it. He is, once again, not slumming it. I thought Radha Mitchell was good. I actually thought the characters that are playing the family were brilliant. Paul Reiser, great to see him back doing anything. I think his name's been attached to a few films that I've either seen recently or ones I'm intending on watching, which was kind of cool to see him back doing stuff. He's kind of playing the sort of role he always plays in movies. I just felt that it took a long time, which is surprising, because Wolf Creek is a movie that takes a kind of a long time to get where it's going, but when it gets there, the gloves are off. It's vicious. It kind of falls into that torture porn category. But in a way where I didn't feel like it was like pure torture porn. I thought there was something in the background. And the fact that it was genuinely rooted in the kind of Ivan Milat serial killer story, the backpacker killer, something I'm familiar with, kind of drew me in as well. My issue with The Darkness is that such a cool concept could have been taken many different ways, and it wasn't. And when it finally started to be developed in a way that, you know, to bring the horror, it's rushed. It's really, really rushed at the end. There is one of the most unsatisfyingly cheesy endings to a movie I've seen in a while. And it felt like Greg McLean was trying to do like a kind of modern retelling of Poltergeist, even though we had that very bland, very plain, very boring remake last year. It's kind of like he's doing that. It's, you know, the fact that there's, you know, Native American burial ground somewhere else this time, these spirits kind of coming through, trying to create a trans, you know, this portal, which once again, I feel like I'm spoiling a bit more than I should for this sort of movie, but trust me, it will not impact your viewing at all. And then the way it's kind of solved towards the end kind of felt Poltergeisty as well, to an extent. It was just boring. I think that was the biggest crime. I felt that this movie easily felt that it had been on for about 3 hours. And I was 45 minutes into it, and that is never a good sign. Never a good sign at all. And like I say, just with the names attached, I just expected something a lot more than what I got. And I mean, I know a couple of people that really enjoyed the movie, and I think that's the thing about Blumhouse. Blumhouse are obviously backing lots of different horror stories, and they just want people out there making horror movies that cover all these different spectrums, and the hope that it connects with different people, and that's great. I really do hope that, you know, there are people out there that enjoyed this movie. For me, it was just a very pedestrian kind of a boring version of Poltergeist, and I don't know how you make that story's, you know, that sort of storytelling has been done many, many times before, and it just never felt as it makes me, like, see, thinking about the movie makes me want to sigh, which is probably its ultimate issue. I should have been talking about some of the cool, and there is some cool imagery towards the end. It's just by then I was so bored that I just didn't want to really engage with the movie after a certain point. So, yeah, so if I was grading this one on Netflix, using the same grading scheme as before, this one probably gets, like, maybe a 1.5 or a 2. I didn't really like this one at all. It's not one that I'll ever revisit. And it's not one that I would really recommend either. Unless, you know, like I say, I know some people that liked it, but I've heard the justification for why they like it, and they got a completely different view and experience than I did. Like I say, not one that I would ever come back to watch. Maybe be generous and give it a 2 out of 5. Yeah, I think that's probably what feels a bit fair. 2 out of 5. Right, going to take another short break. When I return on this bonus episode, I have one more movie to discuss for you, dear listeners out there. So you're going to hear more promos for shows that I love when I return. I'm going to be doing that review right after this.
You're listening to The Podcast Under the Stairs.
Hello, I'm Paul Blimey, and I'm your host on the Trilogy of Terror podcast. Each month, I'll look at one director and talk about three of their horror movies, kicking things off in episode 1 with Lamberto Bava, the man who brought us Demons. Now, the horror films might not always be scary, or even good, but, well, if that happens, what movie and pizza night isn't all the better for a bit of extra cheese? Come and check out the show at gentlemansgrindhouserecords.com or find it on iTunes and Stitcher.
The Trilogy of Terror podcast, where we try three times harder to give you the willies.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest defenses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie to jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
Unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this movie.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this, like, little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history
up.
Doll, yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a
rough
movie.
How did you watch this shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
And welcome back. So, the final movie I'm going to talk about, like I say, I watched 31 horror movies. I will probably recap some of the ones that are recommends and avoids at the end of this review, just as quick one-liners. But the last one I want to talk about was one that I caught right towards the end. I think this was about like day 25 or something. And I had heard a lot of buzz about this movie, and it's I Am Not a Serial Killer, directed by Billy O'Brien, who is a name that I had never heard of before. I checked his IMDb page earlier on, and I've never seen anything this guy has done at all, which, you know, once again, trailer I know some people don't like watching trailers. They feel that they give away too much for movies, and certainly that is always a concern from my part. But a trailer is a really good way to narrow down what I'm going to watch. There are so many, so many movies out there just now. I think the current count is there's in excess of 250 horror movies released this year. And if you've got a podcast or you have a life, it's very difficult to dedicate any sizable portion of your life to do that. I think at the last count I was up to about 82 horror movies from 2016. And that was including the 31 that I watched in October. So October made up the vast bulk of my run through. And there are certainly some big titles still to drop before the year is out. Jane Doe being one of the big ones for me, because I love that director and the cast is pretty amazing. But trailers for me are a good indication of budget for a start. And to an extent, tone of the movie. If I'm in the mood for something really quite graphic and quite shocking, checking a trailer will usually give me an idea of whether or not I want to go down there. That argument that I've just put forward is like instantly negated when we think about what I said about Don't Breathe, but for the most part, I think that's where my focus comes in. I think when I see a trailer, I get an idea of a tone and an intent to an extent for a movie. And I am not a serial killer. I had this kind of indie quirky vibe going on, which I adore in horror movies. And not all horror movies, but it makes me think of things like Excision, which is a movie that I'll always come back to kind of champion. And I will mention that their new movie, in fact I'll mention it at the end there, is one that you need to see this year. Trashfire was absolutely incredible, and I probably should have been talking about that here, but this is the one I'm talking about instead. But anyway, I digress. This is I'm Not a Serial Killer, like I say, directed by Billy O'Brien. The movie kind of caught my attention first and foremost, and as shallow as I am, I'm not ashamed to say, purely because Christopher Lloyd was in this movie, I wanted to see it. The fact he was playing a character called Crowley also just made me want to see this movie. But I think the cast in general is pretty great. I think Laura Fraser's really good in it. Max Reckers, once again, really good in it. Carol Greary's excellent. Matt Roy as well. Molly Greerin. The synopsis listed on IMDb is, in a small Midwestern town, a troubled team with homicidal tendencies must hunt down and destroy a supernatural killer while keeping his own inner demons at bay. The synopsis there maybe kind of... I don't know if this movie's played in such a way that you're ever supposed to think that Max is the killer. I highly doubt that. I think it's kind of... it's kind of put out pretty early that he's not. And basically what we do is we follow... He works kind of part-time in a mortuary along beside his mother, who he's kind of estranged from. He's fixated to what you could argue is maybe an unhealthy degree with serial killers. And as such, when things start happening, people in the town maybe start to think that he's involved. He suspects that his neighbour, Crowley, played by Christopher Lloyd, who lives across the way, is actually behind the killings. And the more he kind of looks into Crowley, the more weird things start to get. It's definitely got that indie vibe. It's got a really kind of quirky indie aesthetic about it, which I really enjoyed. That kind of Midwestern setting as well kind of permeates through the movie, not in a Fargo sort of way, but it's a kind of Fargo town. Lots of really interesting characters. I thought Christopher Lloyd was brilliant. He's at an age now where old people fall into two camps for me when it comes to how I perceive them, which is either harmless or evil. And he kind of dices along this line in a really interesting way. At times you kind of feel sorry for him, at other times you are genuinely like, what is this old man up to and why is my skin crawling when he's on the screen? I know that there are some people that have disliked the way this movie goes. I've read some reviews of where people have pretty much said that they felt it was a twist too far at the end. I disagree. I thought it had this really interesting, kind of almost old vibe to the storytelling. It kind of fits somewhere between like a campfire tale and a creepypasta, but in a way as well that it could easily be something like a Twilight Zone story or for the most part it's a bit of, you know, a kid peeping on his neighbour and suspect it. It's a story we know we're very well kind of versed in. He peeps on his neighbour is his neighbour up to something? We don't know, maybe he is, we need to keep finding out. And then obviously we find out pretty quick that, you know, things are not what we suspected, and you kind of go down the rabbit hole from there. The way it's shot and the score in this movie coupled with the acting just really kind of endeared itself to me. I found myself really warming to this movie, and I could see why it's been kind of, these sort of movies tend to receive quite a buzz because they're against the norm of what usually denotes a successful horror movie. It feels like it's been shot a bit cheaper. It kind of feels unassuming to an extent. I mean, would this movie be getting the same sort of traction if Christopher Lloyd wasn't in it? Probably not. But that's a genius casting for them, you know what I mean? If that's what they had to do to get people to pay attention to the movie they were making, then it's very well done, and I think it works wholly, and it's something that I totally approve of. I don't really want to give away too much about this one. I just thought it was great. I thought it was a really, really good movie. Unlike The Darkness, where I said that movie felt long, an hour and a half, this one is about an hour and three quarters and kind of flew in for me. I just thought it was... There have been a couple of indie horror movies this year that have really kind of captured my interest and my imagination. This one kind of lies more along the lines of something like Sunchoke than it would with something like The Mind's Eye, but that's not to say it's all arty or arthouse by any stretch of the imagination. It's just a really well-crafted, really interesting story, and just done well. It's well-mannered, well-natured, and I had a blast watching this movie. Really, really, really enjoyed it. If I was to score it, I'd give it a 4.5 on my Netflix grading scales, just short of a 5. I think maybe on a second watch, this one might actually end up being a 5 for me. I just thought it was a really, really, really cool film. And Billy O'Brien, you're now on my radar, sir. I am fully prepared to see you wow me in the future with something else, and I hope you stick within the genre, because I think you've got an interesting voice, and that voice is one I want to hear more of. I did mention that there were some more movies that I would quickly touch on right at the very end here, with kind of short one-liners as to whether it's a yay or a nay from me. And I'll touch on some, and fly through them. I don't want to spend kind of too much time going through any of this. So everyone out there kind of knows that I didn't like 31, and we'll touch on that more when Baz does his end of year assessment. I really enjoyed the new Mike Flanagan movie, Before I Wake. That should be no surprise. I'm a big fan of Mike Flanagan. Lights Out was okay. I didn't really like the mythology that they gave to the. Obviously, it's an expansion of a kind of 2-minute short that was doing the rounds and got a lot of traction. I thought Bite was quite a gross little movie, probably worth checking out. Their Watching was a ton of fun, a really, really kind of quirky, maybe not necessarily in the horror vein, but this kind of quirky found footage, mockumentary sort of horror comedy, so to speak. So yeah, Lake Nowhere, I thoroughly enjoyed. This really weird, low budget, kind of felt like a VHS that you'd never seen from, kind of reminded me Don't Go in the Woods Alone, in that sort of vein. Blair Witch, which I will cover on a show somewhere down the line in more detail, was an immensely frustrating watch for me. I don't hate it. Like, there's a lot of people out there that hate that movie. I don't hate it at all. There's a lot of people complaining that it's essentially like a remake of the first movie. It is to an extent, and it's not. And there's very few sequels to horror movies that don't basically go back over the original movie. You know, they just remake the original movie. That's in essence what a sequel does. And it almost feels like the people that kind of hate this for being a kind of remake of the first movie also hate the fact that the original second Blair Witch movie is not in keeping with the aesthetics of the first one. So I don't know, it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. The ending was a bit messy for me, but like I say, I'll touch on it a bit more somewhere down the line. Baskin was fucking amazing. That is one that we will definitely be discussing on a show somewhere down the line. This indie horror movie called She Who Must Burn is excellent. I thought tonally, once again, it's another kind of low budget movie. Tonally was quite uncomfortable to watch, and towards the end, in fact the ending left my jaw on the floor. I thought it was brilliant. Train to Busan is everything what people have been saying, you know, go and check that one out, it's fucking brilliant. The Wailing is also an incredible movie, it's top 5 material for me, so be prepared for that one. It's definitely in the top 5, unless, once again, there's a couple of movies still to come out, or ones I've still to see before the year's out that may prove me wrong. Trash Fire is the last one I want to talk about. Very, very, very quickly. Trash Fire is the new movie of sorts, by a guy that I think is a really talented director, but I really didn't like his previous movie. So Richard Bates Jr., he did Excision, a movie that floored me. I thought it was an incredible movie. He did Suburban Gothic, which is a movie that frustrated the fuck out of me. Kind of felt like a shitty Frighteners. And he's back kind of doing that quirky, weird, surreal, uncomfortable horror with Trash Fire, which I'm not going to go into too much about this one. It's top 5 for me. It's top 5 material. I really can't recommend it enough. If you enjoyed Excision, if you thought Excision was overly long, boring, didn't get to the point, kind of felt yourself checking your phone instead of watching the movie, or didn't quite get the dark humour or the impact that movie had at the very end, then avoid Trash Fire. However, if you did enjoy Excision and you did like what I've said, or agree with those points about Excision, then Trash Fire needs to be up towards the top of your list. A small act of God may remove it from my top 5 this year, but you never know. Like I say, there's still plenty to come out. So that's my kind of recapping of the 31 days of October that I did. I think next year I'm going to try and be a bit more interactive with it, so maybe do weekly shows that are not Baz V Halloween shows, that kind of drop where I recap what I've done in that week in terms of what movies I've watched, what ones are yeas and nays, to give people enough opportunity to take part in watching them during October. That might be an idea. So we'll see if I remember that for a start, and we'll see where we go from there. But yeah, I'm going to take my final break of this show. When I come back, I'm closing it out right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to this bonus episode of the podcast Under the Stairs. This one has been a stopgap filler, so to speak, setting us up for our listener month, which is coming all through December. Really looking forward to dropping that one. Start next week, with my good buddy Court Psyops from Cinema Psyops, where we'll look at Monster Squad and Young Frankenstein. The following week, I'll be joined by Ryan Lewis, and we'll be looking at Elves from 1989. The week after that, there is a secret surprise episode dropping, not giving away any hints about that one. And then, basically, the week after that, or the same week, towards the end of that week, on Christmas Eve, we'll be dropping the Teapot's Christmas movie commentary. Myself and the Baz coming back to do some of that, just in time for you to do last minute wrapping of presents, and you want the noise of your very noisy household drowned out by the incessant prattling of myself and the Baz. That's what you want right there. This particular show looked back over some of my movies that I checked out during my 31 days of October. It's something that has become a bit of a tradition that I actually quite enjoy, even though I constantly feel like I'm being pressed to watch movies. Sometimes it's good to clear some time aside and actually say, you know what, I'm going to sit down and watch a new horror movie. And I found that there were some gems in there that were certainly not getting spoken about, some movies that I totally agree with what the vast majority of horror fans have been saying, other movies that I didn't connect with and ones that I just plain hated. And I'll maybe go into more detail about some of them down the line. There are certainly shows that I have planned where I will be covering some of them. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Baz made the 31, because that's a discussion I need to have with him, just to see if I'm way off base or if he is with me on that journey. So we will find out. Will it be another Green Inferno, or will it be another Nightmare on Elm Street remake? You never know with the Baz. You never know. Never know. So yeah, that's what we covered on this show. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. It's not often that I do a kind of solo cast for the podcast Under the Stairs. I obviously save that for my solo cast Chronicle, and thank you very much for all the support and feedback for season 2. It was a ton of fun, and I'm glad that I actually did put out through the Teapots feed, because there are still some people that aren't checking out on Legion, or some people that forgot that I was doing a sidecast that aren't on my Facebook page. And I got some lovely emails and messages from people that really enjoyed what I did there on that show, and that is a passion project for me. I'm really looking forward to bringing back season 3 in 2017, probably about the February time, where I tackle another subgenre of European horror cinema. The one that I've got in the back of my head has like a lot of potential for some really interesting, really obscure titles. And some classics that everyone knows. So yeah, we may still see a Fulci title in there. That's all I'm saying. That was a ton of fun to do. But I don't often get to do a podcast Under the Stairs, which is just myself talking. Which is maybe for a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. Maybe my voice has been so monotonous that it's put some of you to sleep. And or made you jump off a building. If either one of those things happened, then I apologise profusely. Maybe not to the people that jumped off a building, because you can't hear my apology now, because you're either dead or in a coma, one of the two. I'm waffling, so let's bring it back. So yeah, there will be more updates for things. Like I say, there'll be a poll dropping this week to get some titles and suggestions in place for the Christmas movie commentary, and hopefully, I'm kind of hoping either this week or next week we should have more information on what the posters actually look like, and I'll be able to update you with more of that at that time. Nothing else to really say about that. As always, there's a multitude of places that you can check out the podcast Under the Stairs. If you're checking us out through iTunes, and I've seen a recent increase in the iTunes numbers, so there are more people checking us out over there, if you could take a couple of minutes to leave us some feedback on our iTunes feed. It really doesn't take much time at all. It's very easy to do, but it means the world to us. It's free for you, but it helps promote this podcast in a way which, money couldn't buy, almost. Because every time we get a review from you guys, and if it was 5 stars, for example, the more of them we get, the higher up the iTunes charts we push, the more likely we become visible to other people who are searching out for a horror podcast to listen to. I say it every week, but I genuinely mean it. You guys support us in such a way that it really does make it very easy for us to do the show. So your continued support by leaving reviews on iTunes helps us. There, word of mouth as well. I know there's a lot of people being recommending us out to their friends recently. There's been a huge jump in numbers. I think we're currently sitting about maybe 15 members shy of 400 on the Teapots Facebook page, which is fucking mind blown. I can't believe we've spiked so much this year. I think I joked that if I got to 350 this year, I'd be happy. But it looks like we may be potentially on course to get 400 before the year's out, which is a number that like blows my mind. I can't believe that we're almost there. You can check out the podcast on Stitcher Smart Radio and on SoundCloud. You can check us out at our Facebook group page, facebook.com/groups/teapotscast. You can visit our website, teapotscast.com. The Baz is in charge of our Instagram and Twitter. He is very interactive, so whilst he is enjoying his time off, and still recovering from that hangover from the Bazziversary show, drop him some love over on Instagram and on Twitter. He loves that shit over there, so do that. It makes him happy, and it doesn't get him sending messages asking why no one's speaking to him anymore, because he gets paranoid he's maybe offended everyone, which, to be honest, by now, if you're still listening to this show, you are not easily offended by any stretch of the imagination. But the Baz will be returning this month. Looking forward to getting him back on the show, and me and him need to kind of sit down and plan what we're going to do for our... We every year go out for a drink in between Christmas and New Year. It gets a bit messy. We plan Baz v Horror during that drinking session. That's why it ends up the way it did this year. And we're talking about potential live streaming some of it, which could be a recipe for disaster, but we'll wait and see. So show him some love over there. Nothing else to say, guys. You have been fantastic over October, and even more fantastic over November. It is always a pleasure taking time to sit down, record these shows and put them out there and communicate and get in touch with my peeps. You're all my children now, which was said by, I think it was Nietzsche or Freddy Krueger or Socrates, one of the greats. Well, let's put that away, one of the greats. But wherever you are, whatever you're doing, whatever time zone you're in, please take care of yourselves. Thank you very much again for supporting the podcast Under the Stairs. I will be back in 1 week to kick off the Listener Choice December 2016 Teapot Shows. But until then, this is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I'm signing off.
I'm never coming back this way. I got my things, I'm here to stay. I'll try to walk another way today.